Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
For a Friday morning, October 7th, and Courier Newsroom Political Editorial Director Carolyn Fidler joins us right off the top because it's Friday, and that's just what we need here. Is we need that laugh right there. Political editorial director, although frequently I shorten that to political director because we hear close that enough. In other newsrooms. But I think sometimes people think that means that you're like also, part campaign manager on the side that, you know, we've got an editor someplace who's running for state assembly or something like that. No, she's the political editorial director and also the writer of a newsletter that we're going to remember to promote this week because last week we talked about it in generalities. And gave you virtually no information on how to subscribe to it. How are you?
I am great. It has been a week, but it's Friday.
It's been a week. Yeah, that should be the title of this segment going forward. It's been a week, you know. And we've covered some of it with Mark Jacob in the last hour. We're going to cover some of it with Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier coming up in our next segment. But we don't want to forget the newsletter because it is a prime rundown on what's happening in state politics across the country. So if you're one of those kind of geeks, first off, you're our kind of people, and thank you for being here. Second, you need to know how to get it. So Carolyn, let's start with generalities about the newsletter.
Absolutely. You can go to statehouseaction.substack.com and subscribe. Check out past posts. It's all free. I don't charge for this. Honestly, I feel shined upon when someone takes the time to read it. Why am I going to charge people money for it?
And what do we have this week? I had told you earlier that I was looking forward to that and that I needed to get back to reading the For What It's Worth newsletter that tracks digital campaign spending, which is also by a friend of Courier Newsroom. And apparently you get a 2-for-1 deal this week.
Oh, yeah. This week, it's the biggest crossover event of all time.
Oh,
it's
my.
Bigger than Avengers Endgame. It's bigger than ALF. And Gilligan's Island.
ALF and Gilligan's Island.
Which is a real crossover that happened, I swear to God.
I'm going to have to trust you on that one. If it involved ALF, I probably missed it. So what do you mean crossover event? What are we talking about here?
Last week, hang on, Aaron fact-checked it, our new producer for Pat, who I'm just filling in for now. But he showed me the Gilligan's Island clip with ALF at the table. So Aaron has the proof of the crossover event. I just want to let the listening audience know. It exists.
To quote Cotton McKnight in Dodgeball, oh my sweet Jesus. Okay, well, so.
So this week, Kyle did a lot of really important sort of dives into data in certain states and big states where both parties are vying for control of those chambers this year. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona are among the top four that both parties are targeting for majority control. And so Kyle dug into those states, Kyle Tharp. Great guy, very smart. And he looked at digital advertising on those state legislative races in those states to see who's up, who's down, what it could mean. So we have this amazing crossover event. His newsletter is already out. Mine is going out shortly with a little extra stuff about some other things going on in the state leg universe as well, not just the data, but it's a very data heavy issue and it's very exciting.
Oh, hey, every nerd out there right now is just, you know, racing to their keyboards to get subscribed to this. the legislative races and digital advertising I find interesting only because my past experience, and again, now we're going back 15 years, you know, running for legislature. But what was cutting edge then was, hey, you're a state legislative candidate, but you know, you don't raise a ton of money. So instead of buying these expensive commercials on a local newscast, buy on a bunch of different cable channels and, you know, kind of go a la carte and go to what voters are you trying to attract? You know, are you going to be advertising on ESPN or are you going to be advertising on HGTV or whatever the case may be? So this sounds like just the next form of that, of trying to get candidates for legislature to spend smarter when trying to find voters.
That's exactly right. And 15 years ago, cable was it. But now so many folks have cut the cord. Everyone's doing streaming services. Everyone's doing digital in some way, shape, or form. So digital spending is really where smart money is, especially in these down ballot races where these candidates very often have low name ID, which is incredibly important. If you want people to know to vote for you, they should know what your name is, at least. And that goes a long way. But you can target just much more narrowly with digital spending. Like network gets all the buzz, like so-and-so dropped $1 million on TV. That they mean network when they say that. And network is incredibly expensive. And it's buckshot. You're just, you know, it's just a big spray that doesn't always hit the things you want to hit or the people you want to hit, I should say.
Well, and you need both types. I mean, you need that kind of mass messaging. But I mean, micro-targeting is the thing these days. I mean, from Facebook to wherever, if you can micro-target, off a list of voters, why wouldn't you?
Right. And you said it yourself. There's not a ton of money relative to like federal elections in these state legislative races. So you end up getting a lot more bang for your buck when you can target that specifically.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn Fiddler is with us, political editorial director for Courier Newsroom, and we're going to be joined after this break by Cam Stevenson, the editor of Copper Courier, the Courier Newsroom outlet in Arizona, and the only one that gets Courier in its name for some reason. The rest of us, you know, Up North News, the Gander, the Keystone, Cardinal and Pine, the Dogwood. So apparently Arizona's special. And
well, you know what's awesome, though? Alliteration.
It is. That's what I hear. So Cam's going to talk to us about, because they too have both a big governor's race and a big Senate race. So he will join me and Carolyn after this break. You're Up North. Back now on a Friday morning. It's October 7th. This is Up North News, and I'm Pat Kreitlow. Carolyn Fiddler, Courier Newsroom, political editorial director, is here. And joining us now from the Copper Courier in Arizona is my colleague Cam Stevenson. Cam, it's bright and nice and early down there in the desert Southwest. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Yeah, no problem. This is no better way I'd like to spend my pre-breakfast.
Your pre-breakfast. I like that.
That is very generous.
make all of us across all these Wisconsin radio stations hate you and tell us what the temperature is where you are.
I want to say it's either high 70s, low 80s right now.
I can feel the hatred pouring through right now. So.
Yeah, well, if it makes feel any better. This is the first week where we aren't in 100 degree temperatures, and so we're considering this fall.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's you'll take it. I don't doubt that one bit. Cam has got his hands full covering general turmoil in Arizona politics, which sounds about right. In that they too, like Wisconsin, have a big governor's race and a big Senate race, and so we thought we'd talk a bit about that just to see if there are common themes or directions between these states, or if you're just doing something all on your own there. And you mentioned that there was a debate for the Senate race last night?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the candidates and then get into what's the state of that race based on what you heard last night.
Yeah, definitely. So there were actually three candidates on the stage. Our current Senator, Mark Kelly, his Republican opponent, Blake Masters, and then a Libertarian candidate who I didn't realize made it the threshold to be on the debate, and I honestly don't remember his name.
But I think you're doing good with just Libertarian candidate. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I feel like that gives you know everything he said now. Just by knowing the party. But it was a very interesting debate. It was really, really interesting to see Mark Kelly come back on the stage. This is only his second cycle. He ran for special election in 2020. His debate skills were a little rough around the edges last time around, but he really honed it in this time, really stepped to his message, called out his opponent when needed, and was just very respectful and professional all the way around. Blake Masters also... he knows how to debate. If you've seen his old college videos, he's been putting himself in hot water for years. However, he didn't necessarily stick to his policies. He said, I think what he wanted a broader audience to hear, but didn't necessarily say what he is going to do while in office. And he was called out for it several times.
That sounds familiar, because we talked to Kyle Kaminsky from the Gander in Michigan yesterday, and got pretty much the same thing, that the Republican candidates are not doing well there because they're not really talking about policy. They're not talking about anything that voters want to hear about. They're still relitigating not just the 2020 election, but 2020 COVID protocols, you know, and safeguards, and saying, you know, it infringed on freedom, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you guys got to get over this. People were trying to save lives, and B, you lost. So welcome to 2022. What are you going to do for us? And so Arizona voters are kind of finding that response lacking as well, huh?
Yeah. I don't think that when asked about the 2020 election, when Blake Masters went into an unfounded conspiracy theory about the FBI, big tech, and Hunter Biden. I don't think that
really
resonated.
Did he talk about mules?
Actually, I believe it was mentioned. Yeah.
So, I was kidding.
Yeah, no, he filled out a lot of people's bingo cards in one breath. but those things, I mean, I would say the majority of people in Arizona don't care about those things. That's not our day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And I think that really showed in the debate, that he was speaking to a very specific online segment of extremists and not the majority of people who live here, and definitely not the majority of people who vote here.
What do you think was that, in your estimation, what was like the biggest whopper he told?
That's tough. I mean, his stance on abortion waffles a lot. I think him saying that he supports abortion up to a certain viability, while also making outlandish claims about what abortion actually is. He would say things like late term abortion, and say things like people are having abortions with, you know, a 9 month old living, breathing child, basically. That doesn't
literally happen. Not how it works.
Not how it works at all.
I mean, nope. You know, late term in the medical sense as far as Roe v. Wade is concerned is 20-24 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, before viability. And so things like that are very out there. Also bringing up Hunter Biden, Ukraine.
Oh God, it is the bingo card. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it's unfounded. It's untrue. And again, it, what does that have to do with what's going on here?
No, it doesn't. So before we move to the governor's race, and before we leave the Senate race, is there a lot for polling in Arizona? Like in Wisconsin, there's very little polling we hear compared to other states. What does the Senate race look like? Or are there wide variations in the polling?
The variations aren't too wide, actually, even among, you know, right-leaning, left-leaning polling. Mm-hmm. Kelly is up by at least a comfortable 7 to 10 points. Okay. say what?
Yeah, so fairly... Fairly similar to Michigan then. So kind of in that same range. Okay.
Yeah. For that race anyway. Other statewide races, it's a lot more narrow.
And by the way, next week, we're going to talk to our friends at the Keystone in Pennsylvania about the governor's and Senate races. The Senate races is the crazy one there. But turning back to Arizona here, now let's look at the governor's race, where, you know, here in Wisconsin, we thought we were going to have a former TV news anchor and Rebecca Clefish, former lieutenant governor, challenging Tony Evers. But then Tim Michaels dropped $12 million of his own money. And that Connecticut businessman managed to pull off the upset and run against Evers. But in Arizona, you do have a former TV news anchor on the ballot. And again, one that is very much in the Trump orbit, shall we say. So what is happening with that race and you know, her Democratic opponent?
Yeah, no, I mean, if Trump was a planet, she'd be one of his moons. She is as close to orbit as you can imagine.
That's unusual.
Yeah, well, she'd take it as a compliment, I'm sure.
I know.
You know, she also had a business person opponent who dumped millions into their own personal campaign and lost. And I think that's because, as far as Republicans are concerned, there is a very strong and active MAGA base here in Arizona. Which works well for the primaries, as we saw, but it doesn't bode well for the general.
If I recall correctly, and I might recall completely incorrectly, the primary was pretty narrow. She like Lake barely eked it out, right?
Yeah. There was, I mean, it takes about 10 days for us to get our results just because early ballots takes a lot of time to process, verify signatures. So there was a little bit back and forth where Lake was behind, then ahead, then behind. But in the end, she barely squeaked by.
But she did so with the incumbent Republican governor not backing her and actually really going after her during the primary, right?
Yeah, he gave a full, him and former Vice President Mike Pence gave full endorsements to her opponent, you know, came out stumped for her. Doug Ducey, our current Republican governor, was very negative towards her, Carrie Lake's campaign. But she had Trump, and so that was enough.
And so now who's the Democrat in the race?
So the Democrat is Katie Hobbs. She's our current Secretary of State. She's had a lot of national media attention because she's kind of been at the forefront of defending our election systems here. She certified our, you know, Maricopa County and Arizona as a whole's elections in 2020s. And since has been getting, ever since then, has gotten death threats, gotten, you know, her family's been threatened. But she stood very strong in defending, you know, our election system. And so she's hoping that that can take her to the, you know, the governor's office where she can enact more progressive policy and kind of more firmly entrench herself as the leader of the state.
But if she is leaving that Secretary of State's office to run for the governor, then you have a race for Secretary of State as well with, again, some Trumpian influence?
That race is just all stars, man.
Yeah, it's all across the board. And that one is, you know, it's a little worrying just in the sense that the farther down the ballot you go, the less people know. I believe 15% of voters are still undecided in our Secretary of State race. And just for context, the Republican candidate is insurrection adjacent. He was at the Capitol on January 6th, being very supportive of the people who did break into the building and, cause some serious damage. He's also an election denier. He's actually from Michigan, too, yeah, which is funny. He moved out here, became a realtor, bought a bolo tie, and now considers himself a proud member. Bought a
bolo tie. He did. He wears it everywhere.
Yeah, cowboy hat and a bolo tie.
Because I do the state ledge stuff, I'm very familiar with his terrible record as a member of the state legislature already. Yeah. Like, no one wants this guy in statewide office. He's terrifying.
Well, and even the state legislature doesn't like him. You know, he's the Ted Cruz of our legislature. Republicans don't like him. Democrats don't like him. He's seen as an absolute joke. And so the fact that he's made it this far and that race is this close
But Cam, I'm looking at your homepage, coppercourier.com. And that's not even the bottom, because I'm seeing a headline that says here, candidate for school superintendent befriended, defended multiple alleged child sex criminals. What?
Yeah. So, we need another hour to talk about that. But
that's the crux of it, though. That headline really gets to the meat.
Yeah, he's a long time. He's been a politician, statewide elected, legislature for decades, and he has a track record, and it's not good. And that pretty much sums it up.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. Since we're only down to 2 minutes here, let's get to the more fun stuff that I like to do with each state, because there's so much more to what we do besides politics and news of the day. And honestly, again, if you just go to coppercourier.com, you get how to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day with 7 great events. You get food, 10 of the best tacos in the Phoenix area, 7 fun-filled day trips within 2 hours from Phoenix, 6 wine festivals in Arizona. Cam, you got a favorite lately of these stories? Because these all look so enticing.
Yeah. So, one of them, the day trips, I'm actually taking one of those in a couple weeks to Bisbee, Arizona.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then this best tacos list, it really just validated me as a person, because I've been to most of them.
So really what we're getting at here, and Carolyn, since you're at the national office, you can make this happen. aren't we overdue for a staff retreat? And
I think so.
Why wouldn't that be in Arizona in the middle of winter?
I was about to say, as long as it's not in the summertime.
Yeah, I endorse this
idea quite a lot.
Oh no, we're no dummies here at Courier.
Yeah, if this is the summer, I wouldn't show up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Cam, we'll get the guest rooms ready, and thank you so much for getting up early and filling us in.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you betcha. All right. You betcha. I gave that great Midwestern goodbye. There you go. Have a wonderful weekend. Carolyn, great seeing you too. Everybody, likewise. Read the newsletter.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be back after this break. You're up north. Red, white, and blue.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Once again, we kick things off on Monday, talking to a state legislator. And on Monday's 8 o'clock hour, that will be State Senator Chris Larson. And as I was telling him as we were arranging this, I mean, the this week's contents of his Twitter feed alone could fill an hour. He has advocated for the criminal charges to be brought against the fake electors who, were going to cast ballots for Donald Trump, the fraudulent ballot that Ron Johnson's office was in possession of. The bill that has now been turned down about trying to get rid of the forgiveness of student loan debt. There's Tim Michaels, the candidate, a Republican candidate for governor, and his nearly obscene proposal to basically have a flat tax for the state income tax, which does nothing more than it's a massive giveaway to the wealthy while everybody else at the lowest bracket continues to pay the same bracket. And more. I mean, there's just a lot to cover with Chris Larson. So that will be in our 8 o'clock hour, right, kicking off the week here on Monday. But to get there, we first have to get through the weekend, and the forecast looks mighty nice. Back to the mid-60s, very seasonal, very quiet, going to be a gorgeous weekend. If you go over to travelwisconsin.com, you can get the fall color report, which itself is looking like a tree that has changed all over the place. You've got some of the northern counties in kind of a darker orange as they're moving into peak or almost past peak. You've got your lighter orange counties that are at peak across the middle, a lot of yellow counties that are approaching peak. And, you know, then to the south, still a few areas in green that the fall colors haven't really shown up yet. So if you're interested in planning out any kind of a road trip for the weekend, you can check that out at travelwisconsin.com. I know that I will be heading to La Crosse at some point, and I am jazzed up about that drive, especially along the river. I don't want to call it ceremonial, but one of the little side duties a state legislator has is to serve on various boards and things. And for a time, I was on the board of the Great River Road, which runs, you know, all the way down the Mississippi and looks for ways to, you know, preserve that entire, you know, scenic byway, and then also promote the, you know, the towns and the businesses that are there. And it's something I've really enjoyed at Up North News, is taking the opportunity from time to time with our freelance writers and highlighting those areas along the Great River Road. They make for a great trip, whether there's fall colors or any other time of year. So I would strongly advocate that if you are looking for something to fill the weekend that isn't terribly expensive. There's a new announcement out from Governor Tony Evers' office this morning announcing that the U.S. Department of the Treasury has approved Evers' plans to allocate $40 million in American Rescue Plan funds to expedite Wisconsin efforts to expand access to high-speed internet across the state. And so the governor wanted to talk that up, that $40 million that's coming. It will be invested in grants and other planning resources so that internet service providers can accelerate the work that they're doing to bring high-speed broadband infrastructure to either unserved or underserved locations throughout the state. The Evers announcement says that since he took office, the state has disbursed or committed nearly $300 million toward expanding broadband including $105 million in federal funding that's been directed by Evers. It all support has supported 94 projects in more than 40 counties and three tribal communities, with much more to come. And I wanted to bring that up to again, kind of echo something that we've mentioned a couple of times this week, and it's that whole notion that we should ask of our candidates, what are you for? You know, what have you done? What are you promising to do? And if you're hearing, you know, kind of these empty words like, you know, freedom and CRT, you know, and things like that, they're not doing anything for you. They're looking to scare you. They're bringing up conspiracies. And it would be nice if we could get our public officials back in the business of saying what they would actually do. Now, that's a heavy lift for any Republican in the state legislature this year, because the answer to the question, what did you do, is simple. It's, I took 10 months off from my job. I got paid for all 12 months. You paid me for it. You, the taxpayer, paid my $50,000 salary because I am classified as a full-time legislator. But my Republican leadership and I thought we should take 10 months off and you should pay us for that. So they're getting paid right now while they campaign on empty words, empty concepts, rather than concrete accomplishments. If they show up at any of these places where there's a ribbon cutting, for example, as you know, a new batch of high-speed internet service, you know, is starting up, you can ask them, why are you here? You weren't in Madison. You had nothing to do with allocating American Rescue Plan funds. And if they happen to be, say, a local member of Congress, let's say Tom Tiffany were to show up and congratulate Boulder Junction on, you know, expanding their broadband greatly, people can say to him truthfully, what did you do for this? You voted against the American Rescue Plan. You voted against the bipartisan infrastructure bill. You voted against the Inflation Reduction Act. So what is it that you do? And if Tom Tiffany's honest, he'll say, well, I demonize, you know, Hispanic people by talking about the border pretty much nonstop, even though the border is thousands of miles away from Wisconsin. Okay, that's interesting, Congressman. Have you done anything to help the situation? Because we know that this week a group called for leaders in Congress to fix labor shortages that deal with immigration policy, that Wisconsin dairy farms are increasingly relying on immigrant labor, but almost all of them are undocumented because there's no such thing as a year-round agricultural visa for farm workers to make them legal. Can you help us with that? His answer will be no, I don't want to. I want to continue to just demonize immigrants, even though we need them or the farm economy will collapse.
They'll say things like, oh, we'll look into that, or we'll have to look at it closer, because, they don't want to answer those questions. They're not going to give you an outright no, and maybe some cases they would, but they're just going to pretend like their job is to look into things and not actually, you know, do any action.
There's a lot of the, we'll look into it.
We'll circle back.
Yeah, narrator, they did not circle back. We talked with Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in our last segment about, you know, some of the features that they do and that we all do at Courier Newsroom in our various state outlets, because, you know, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And we love Wisconsin. I believe Don Rue tells us once or twice an hour, we are unabashedly Wisconsin, which means we need to celebrate the food, the places, the events, and the people. We have a freelance writer, Kevin Revolinsky, who spent a lot of time in Green Bay to work on an article that posted this week with a very unique theme. What can you do in Green Bay besides a Packers game? Are there things? And the answer is, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are there ever? I know that when we were setting up the story, when he first got back from Green Bay, I mean, he frankly gave us too much stuff. We said we nobody's going to read a 3,000 word article about this. You got to package this a little tighter. It's not his fault. He gave us everything. And we said, okay, what are we going to do here? So he has laid out of course, where are you going to start? You're going to start with the Friday fish fry. So he talks about a place that, you know, serves the highly prized and increasingly rare lake perch, as well as bluegill, whitefish, catfish, and of course, walleye and cod. And he writes, maybe even smelt if you're lucky. Now, I have to say, having married into a family from Manitowoc County, and so, you know, smelt is something that you'll see, especially around Lent. Not really my thing. And I see Luke is kind of making that face too. And I think if you grow up with it, then I think that's what you're used to. But if you're more used to walleye or cod, you know, that's kind of where you're drawn to.
Do you still fry the smelt? Is it fried?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard of that.
Well, guess what? When we're done with our road trip to Arizona, we'll make a road trip to Brown County and maybe get some smelt there. I was kind of surprised to see another local dish listed, Booyah. And I don't mean the Sports Center call on ESPN. I mean the actual dish, which is, if you're not familiar with it, are you familiar with the children's book Stone Soup? Where basically it's a soup that's made with, you know, everybody brings something and throws it in a pot. It's basically that. And when I was a kid living in St. Paul, every church, it seemed, had a fall Booyah festival. And I guess that is a thing here as well in Green Bay. The Booyah Shed has a hearty traditional soup as well as some burgers, curds, tots, fish fry, and more. He lists an Italian restaurant. There's a restaurant with ingredients and influences from the Oneida Nation. Then he gets into the art and the history and the stories. There's the Automobile Gallery. There's a National Railroad Museum there, along with the Neville Public Museum. What is this now? We're familiar with Title Town. Here's one called Untitled Town, which deals with literary events. Okay, I see what you did there. There's no shortage of places to get beer. There's the Noble Roots Brewery, the larger, older regional hinterland, Badger State, Title Town, and several others that he lists. I don't want to give them all away. You should go over to upnorthnewswi.com and go looking for that. If you want to be active more than just, you know, sitting in the bleachers at Lambeau, there's a little bit more going on out there. That he lays out, and especially in the wintertime, whether it's ice fishing or cross country skiing, skating rink, tubing hill. So for those of us who can't really get to Arizona in the middle of winter, there are ways to have fun in the Green Bay area. So all that and more in a brand new story that's been posted, Things to Do in Green Bay Outside of Lambeau Field by Kevin Revelinsky over at upnorthnewswi.com. And one more that I wanted to promote for you, and that's from contributing writer Jessica Lee, because Indigenous Peoples Day is this coming Monday, and it is a holiday for Courier Newsroom and an increasing number of companies as well, what you may have known as Columbus Day. And there will still be around the country, if not Columbus Day celebrations, then perhaps the more proper Italian heritage celebrations, because that way we're not really honoring those who were colonizing and eradicating native cultures and what have you. And so instead, President Biden last year recognized for the first time Indigenous Peoples Day instead. And that way we as a nation can recognize their resilience, their strength, and as the president called it in his proclamation, the immeasurable positive impact they've made on every aspect of American society. Now, one of the largest and most colorful celebrations will take place tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, in Wausau at Marathon Park at East Gate Hall. the Central Wisconsin Indigenous People's Day powwow was interrupted for a couple of years because of the pandemic. When held in 2019, it included 11 drums, 200 dancers, craft vendors, food vendors, and Trisha Zunker, who helped organize it, said it's understandable if people feel a little intimidated, but come, the dancers and singers just want people to enjoy this small snippet into Native culture. And then the story goes on to explain all the other ways that you can lift Indigenous voices, support craftsmanship, donate to nonprofits, and so forth. So again, look for that over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. We'll wrap up today's visit after this. You're up north. Oh, that song can only mean one thing. It is Friday morning, and it is almost quitting time for this radio show. If you think I can quit for the rest of the day, you got another thing coming. But before we go, as we do at this time every day, usually I rattle off some self-promoting gobbledygook, and I think you've had enough of me for 1 week. So let's just turn right to all of the many fine programs on the fine stations of the Civic Media Empire, which, again, I believe Luke is trying to get me to stop saying so often that we're not the Empire. We're the scrappy Rebel Alliance. It could just be because his name is Luke. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, I didn't even put two and two together. See, you were calling me Han Solo, and I should have just jumped in yesterday saying, no, I am Luke Skywalker.
Luke, yes. So, as I mentioned, on Monday, State Senator Chris Larson will be here, and then many more guests next week as well. But let's go through the roster and all the things that you could hear either on your local radio station, whether you're in Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, Richland Center, Oshkosh. And if not on that radio station, then online at one of the many options that are out there. What do we got today, Mr.?
Yeah, we've got a plethora of options. You can download the Civic Media app and jump from program to program. Up next on this fine station on Bull Falls in Amory, Lake Eyre, in Richland Center, and in Oshkosh, we got As Goes Wisconsin coming up. And so you can tune into Kristen's show. After that, in Wausau, you got the Chad Holmes show, and Chad is going to be joined at 3:15 this afternoon by 7th CD candidate, Democratic candidate for Congress in the 7th District, Dick Ausman. So Dick will be joining Chad on his show in the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon. On Dueling Tangents, I'm hoping to be joined by Treasurer. So not Secretary of State candidate, but the Treasurer candidate here in Wisconsin, and that is Aaron Richardson. And so Aaron's going to be hopefully joining me at 2:30, working to pin down the final details there for his appearance in studio here in Madison. And then this evening, across the Civic Media Network, if you don't have local high school sports broadcasting, the stations will be taking live at 7 p.m. the debate between Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate, and incumbent Senator Ron Johnson, Republican candidate, in their debate, first of two debates. Next Thursday will also be broadcast across Civic Media, but you can tune in on the Civic Media app or your local Civic Media station and hear it this evening. Or if you miss it, you can listen on Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and listen to the replay.
What a nice civic gesture this is by Civic Media to engage in a bit of Civics 101 and hold these or air these debates. It's like it's in our name or something.
Almost.
It's almost right there. It's also on TV stations across the state, live streams, C-SPAN, Wisconsin Eye. If you were planning to watch it on TV, be aware that it might be on one of the digital channels, not necessarily the main channel. And also, while we're talking about TV and things that might be there and might not, the Packers game on Sunday is being shown on the NFL Network. It's their game. And in the Green Bay and Milwaukee areas, I believe a local station will also show the game, but the rest of Wisconsin does not count as a home market because the rules about TV sports haven't been updated in decades, and they are dumb. So as a result, elsewhere in the state, you will either have to have the NFL Network figure out how to stream it, or like me, go to a local watering hole that has it.
If only there was a public official, you know, working on updating those laws. If only there was somebody.
That's the thing. It's almost a running gag now, because before Tammy Baldwin introduced the bill each year, I believe Herb Kohl did. And there's just not traction to be found in these sports leagues to actually work with the TV networks so that, say, in Western Wisconsin, Packers fans could actually watch the team located in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and has to watch Vikings games instead. And I can't think of a bigger punishment or a bigger reason, you know, to change the current law than to be exposed to that damn horn that blows all the time in that godforsaken ugly new stadium. But I have feelings about that. The Major League Baseball playoffs begin today. New wild card format. And while it doesn't involve the Brewers, I did want to check in with Mr. Mathers here while I have him, just to see if between Tampa Bay, Cleveland, the Phillies and the Cardinals, Seattle, Toronto, Padres at the Mets, if you were going to be following one of them or actively rooting against one of them to see who moves on in the brackets here. Because now there's actual brackets for the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not a huge Manny Machado fan, so I will not be cheering for the Padres, despite the fact that Josh Hader landed there after the trade. But I don't like Manny Machado.
Plus he's going up against the Mets, who have Max Scherzer,
yep,
who is, you know, just incredible.
DeGrom's still playing, right?
And DeGrom, yeah. Yep.
So I have a feeling that's going to be a tough outing for the Padres to begin with. But I'm just hoping for some good baseball games. That's really what it is, because I don't plan on really watching any of them specifically for any particular reason. But if I put one on, I would like to be entertained with a good baseball game. I don't want to see a blowout, or if it's some excellent pitching and it's a close game that way, great. But I just hope for some good postseason baseball.
And I agree for this reason, and it's going to come off as being, you know, as hating on the Brewers, and I don't mean it to be that way, but we've been invested personally in so many games where we get our heart stomped that it will be, in this case, if, you know, a pitcher has an epic collapse or something, it won't hit as hard. It will be more of, you know, an entertainment factor that says, oh, geez, look what happened to that, you know, poor guy. And maybe you'll see some hits. If you see a home run in the top of the in the bottom of the eighth, and it's very exciting, and the home team takes the lead, and then the visiting team hits two home runs in the top of the ninth to take the lead, it won't break your heart the way it did in the Brewers' final game of the regular season. Well, not that I'm still worked up about that at all.
The third final game of the regular season, but the final game that mattered to try to get them there to the playoffs.
Yes. See how I'm trying to just block it now, but and yet I can't.
I have a feeling it's going to stick around for a little while, Pat. It stings. It does.
It will. And again, we weren't Cincinnati, we weren't Pittsburgh, but it does sting. And I am all a Twitter about, you know, what kind of changes are going to be made before next season. You know, who we're going to recognize and who we won't. So we'll have all that to look forward to. And again, all four games in the wildcard series are today. Three of them on ESPN and one of them on ABC. You running away? I mentioned my lacrosse road trip. You running away for the weekend?
Nope. Maybe some apple picking. Maybe a pumpkin patch. Who knows? I'll see where the fall breeze takes me.
That's so wholesome. My goodness, I can just see you spreading out a little checkerboard tablecloth, you know, picnic thing under an apple tree. You're the last of the romantics, Luke Mathers. Anyway, as you would say, if we didn't laugh, we would all go insane. Enjoy.